Good morning, everyone. Whew, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open up to Deuteronomy 11. And we're going to continue on with the power of a door. And I love this one because anyone who knows me knows how much I love the Bible. And I love God's Word. And I feel like it applies to everything, every decision. I know I've shared this story before, but you know, people say, well, the Bible isn't just for, you know, that was back then, it's not for today, it doesn't apply to my life. Well, I can tell you it does apply to our lives today, and if you're asking the Lord to show you something, he will show you. Before Steve and I, actually officially met, I wanted to go up and approach him, and I wanted to ask him out for a cup of coffee. He was so cute, and you know, I was tired of waiting for him, you know, how we girls can sometimes be. But the Lord had told me something. When I first saw him, he said, no, you wait for him to come to you. And for those of you who knew my personality back then, it was like, yes, Dad. And it was like, my dad, for those of you who don't know, my dad is the one who actually told me to go try out for the play that Steve was directing. And so I tried out for a much bigger role that day than I realized. So, but I remember I was just back and forth. Do I call him? Do I not? Do I call him? And it was time for my devotions, and it was actually Paul was addressing someone in the church about Mark, but the words in the verse said, "I have already told you what to do concerning him." So don't tell me that the Bible doesn't apply to your life today. If you're open to the Lord, he'll speak to you through his word. I was like, okay, I'll wait. Very next Sunday, he asked me out. The rest is history. So you see, if we wait and we wait on the Lord's timing, he has a plan. Amen? All right, open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 11. And we're going to start with verse 18. Morning, guys. Verse 18, and it says this, "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. You should bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." That always gets me. Whew. "And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children," so it's not just you, "your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your forefathers to give them, like the days of heaven above, from above the earth." For you, number 22, "For if you carefully keep all the commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all in the land where you tread, just as he said to you." For those of you who don't know, this is the Lord speaking to his people Israel as they have come out of Egypt and they are headed into the promised land, and he's instructing them. This is kind of an instructional book in the Bible, and he's telling them, listen, I have plans for you, and if you keep my commandments, they are going to be good plans. They are going to be plans that are going to be amazing. You're going to watch the enemies, they're going to hear about you, and they're going to flee in front of you. And we've seen that. If you look ahead and you go into Joshua, what does Rahab tell the spies? "We've already heard about you, and everyone in this place is scared to death." And everywhere they went, that's what the Lord did, as long as they obeyed the commands of the Lord. But how do you know the commands of the Lord if you don't open it up and find out what it says? Amen? And it says that you're supposed to put them, we'll go back to verse 20, "You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Why is that important? Because there's power in the door. What do you go in of and out of to get into your houses? Your doors, right? So there needs to be, I was picturing this, I had seen this verse when I was studying up, and I was thinking to myself, I love verses, they're all over our house, you know? And I was thinking, I have a new plan for our front door. I'm going to start putting the word of the Lord on our front door. Why is that important? Because we can read the word, and it tells us in James that we can turn around and walk away, and it's just like looking in a mirror, and I turn this way, and after a few seconds, I probably couldn't tell you by looking in the mirror everything about you, right? Even about ourselves. It says you can look intently into a mirror, and you turn around and walk away, and you forget what you look like. The same is true with the word of God. Sometimes we can read the word of God in the morning, and we can be all excited, powerful word, and we get ready, we head out the door, and we've forgotten, right? But what if that word is on your door? What if you write down that verse that meant so much to you? Then you're going to see it while you're getting your keys. You're going to see it when you open it, when you close it, when you come in, when you go out. That word is going to stick with you. And it's not just for you. It's for who? Your children as well. So that when they're going in and out, they're remembering, they're thinking about that word, the last thing that they saw before they exited or they enter. Amen? And there is power in doors. We've been learning that. We've been seeing how powerful doors can be in our lives. Well, this is a huge one. God wants us to remember his commandments because he wants us to experience the blessing in our finances. Amen? So even in our finances, I have my finance files. I have verses that I put in there for debt cancellation. They're in there. The word is in my files. And you know what? We're down to one. Yes, it's a huge thing. Amen. We're even seeing our mortgage drop and drop and drop and drop and drop. What I'm saying is God is moving and working. And when that word is not just in you, but you're seeing it every single day, it reminds you of God's faithfulness. Amen. And he is moving and working. We've been seeing miracle after miracle in our church and people's finances. And I thought it was so amazing today in EMIC, really quick, I wanted to share this. This morning they were sharing a testimony about a ministry that was expanding, but they really needed like a trailer so that they didn't have to move their stuff all the time. And so they were praying about it. They went to a service, and the lady was like, I felt like the Lord told me to plant a seed. And for you, those of you who don't know what a seed is, that's like an offering that you give, and you're planting a seed of money and faith for a harvest. And she said, all I had in my wallet was $20. And she said, at first I thought, oh, that's ridiculous. I need something that's probably like, you know, 50 times that to buy a trailer and then, you know, all the things that go with it. And she's like, but I just felt like, no, the widow gave her mites, and the Lord blessed her for that. So she said, I put my $20 in and went about my day. At the end of the service, a young man came up to them and said, I've been hearing about your ministry. So they started sharing about their ministry. And she's like, it's been so exciting. We've just been growing, but we really need a trailer. So if you could be praying for us to have a trailer. And he said, I don't need to pray about it. He said, I have a toy trailer for you. And it was funny because she said, it was Terry, and she said, I'm not talking a toy trailer like for Barbies. It's a toy trailer. It's like a, like for the recreational vehicles. It's a big one. And she's like, what? And he's like, yeah. He said, the Lord told me last night to give you my trailer. Now, when did the Lord tell him? Last night, even before she planted her seed. Amen. And she was like, we were already floored. We were already blown away. And she was like, oh, my word, then all we have to do is pray for the truck. And he's like, no, I'm giving my truck as well. He gave the truck and the trailer, supplied their needs. She said, my husband and I were sobbing about this. She's like, God was so faithful. And even before we planted the seed, he had already had the provision. He was just looking for our obedience to do what he'd asked us to do. And she said, but the blessing doesn't stop there. He came back an hour later with a $1,000 check and said, I so believe in this ministry, I want to sow even more. You guys, God is moving and working in these last days. And it's not just, I mean, we've been having some incredible testimonies, but God is not just one place. It's all over. The church is starting to see God move in amazing ways financially. Amen? Why? Because we're coming into the last days, and we need to have the finances in the church that it needs to be able to finance the things that the God is calling the church to do in these last days. I truly believe it's going to come to a point where the government is not going to have an answer. But the church is going to rise up and be a voice. And not just a voice, we're going to be the tools that God uses to reach people in these last days, meeting their needs. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm so excited about what God is doing. So pray and ask the Lord, do you need a word on your door or your doorpost that you can be seeing? And maybe it needs to change every other day. Maybe it stays up for a week and then changes. Whatever it is, ask the Lord. But we need to get the word in front of us so that we're reminded of his commands, of his promises, and we can walk in the blessing. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much for this day today. We thank you for your faithfulness, God, and for these exciting stories, Lord, that are even beyond our building. Lord, we have experienced some amazing financial breakthroughs in the people in our church, Lord, and we praise you and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, again, for the debt freedom that you gave Liz. And Father, we just thank you and we praise you, but she's not the only one you have in mind. And Lord, we just ask that you would just continue to touch every household represented here. Let the financial blessings pour in so that we can wipe away debt and be able to give to every good work, that it won't be like scrimping and saving to be able to give what you're giving or telling us to give. It'll be out of the overflow, Father. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for just helping us to listen and to obey your word, Father, when you speak to us. Lord, help us not to push it aside, but to act on it. $20 seems like a very small thing, but God, it wasn't the $20 you were looking at. It was the heart you were looking to see, would that person be faithful and to act on what you told them to do? And when they did, Father, the floodgates of heaven were opened up and you poured out a blessing they could not contain. And that's what we pray today, Father. You would continue to lead us and guide us and direct us and show us, Father, in our giving, what we're to do. We praise you and we thank you. Bless every seed that's sowed today and bless the givers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, hey, we're going to continue on our message entitled Fighting the Good Fight of Faith. Somebody say, fight the good fight of faith. Amen. And a lot of people are taught to fight faith. But somebody say, I'm not here to fight faith. I'm here to fight the fight of faith. Right? And it doesn't mean that we're fighting against people, right? Now, there are people who would disagree with faith, with the church, you know, and we're believing God to do supernatural things in our nation, praise the Lord. But the problems really began decades ago when a Supreme Court decision decided to take the Bible out of school, take prayer out of school, separation of church and state. Legalized murdering babies, right? And then the homosexual thing started kicking in. And now they've increased the thing even down to whatever, the gender blender thing. I mean, it's nuts. It's absolutely crazy how the devil can just take people on a stair step down, down, down. You start wondering what could possibly be next, right? This is why believers, church people, Christian people need to rise up and fight the fight of faith. Don't let the devil push us around. Amen? And it doesn't mean we hate people. You know, a lot of folks out there that are pushing that agenda would call people like us haters. Well, hatred, guess what, is a biblical value. But it says hate what is evil, not who is practicing evil. Right? And guess what? Me, myself, I ought to make sure I'm not practicing evil in my own life, right? So we keep ourselves in check, but we find out what the truth and what the lie is by going to the book of truth, which is the Bible. Amen? Has God's word ever changed? Has God ever changed? No, right? Does God love people? No matter what and what they're practicing or what they believe, right? Of course he does. But is every person on their way to heaven today? No. Because there's one thing. Somebody say one thing. people must do to make heaven their home. And that one thing is not a list of things not to do. If you want to make heaven your home, then don't do this and don't do this and don't do this and don't do this. If you want to make heaven your home, then do this and this and this. That's religion, isn't it? Right? No, somebody say one thing. One thing. Accept Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. That's it. Amen? And then the rest of our life we spend praising God, thanking God, living for God, loving God. The rest of your life becomes about loving God and loving people, no matter what they believe or who what they're doing, right? We had a group in here yesterday in this facility that made a big mess. And we came in and there was still a big mess. And there was a miscue with some cleaning folks. But you know what? The Lord helped us to flex and just move over. The owners here are so gracious. They're believers too. And they came in and helped us figure out how to flex. Our, you know, why get upset, right? Why get mad at people? It just reminds you, hey, guess what? There's still people out there that need to get saved, right? Amen. So we get busy living for God and loving God. What is that? That's called fighting the fight of faith. Praise the Lord. Well, our foundation text, if you have your notes, does anybody need a copy of the notes? Okay, we're good. Our foundation text is 1 Timothy 6:12, and it says this. If you have your notes, let's read it out loud together. Ready? Read. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Somebody say amen. Fighting is defined in the concordance as a place of assembly, as if led, okay? So church is a place of assembly, isn't it? So learning to fight the fight of faith should include assembling together, right? So we can learn what the Word of God says, encourage one another in our faith, love one another, meet in public, right? Amen? I believe that our military, probably around the world, are assembling together. There's not one guy from the Air Force saying, I'm going to go do this over here. One guy from the Marines saying, I don't need the rest of you. Now, somebody say we need each other. We're all a part of this body of Christ. Amen? So we assemble together. It means a contest, right? This world is the place of contest, right? It's where all the marbles are for eternity. And this little, you know, pinky nail of time that we all live on this planet, somebody say all the marbles are here though, right? Even if I live 120 years, eternity goes way beyond that. Amen? So this is a place of decision here, isn't it? What's the contest between? God and the devil. Darkness and light. Angels and demons. Amen? And so that's why we come, we pray, we preach, we teach the word, we study our Bibles. Amen? We worship. Because something is happening in the heavenly realm every time we assemble, I'm telling you. Right? There's all kinds of people out there today that chose not to come to church today. Come on, church, right? Somebody say, toughen up in faith, right? Pastor Keith Moore was teaching over the past few weeks at Eagle Mountain about valuing God's stuff and honoring God's stuff. He said, don't be out there, pastors, pushing for volunteers. He said, people need to understand the value of what they are doing for God. Every time you move a chair, every time you flip a light switch, every time you wipe a counter down, every time you show up smiling and just give somebody a, hey, praise the Lord, glad to see you, you are honoring God. You're touching God's stuff. And it is such an honor, isn't it, to serve the Lord. Amen? Right? So all we have to do is put our faith in Him and keep showing up. You know, half of success is just simply showing up. You know how hard it is in the business world. Those of us who are in business have been in business for any length of time. Just getting people to show up. You'd be surprised in our industry of pest control. Randy probably knows this too. I'm sure you do. People often choose us because, I'm told this over and over again, because you showed up. You called me back. You answered my phone call. Somebody say, answer the call, right? Show up and God will show out. Amen? God isn't interested in out there wiping his kids' runny noses if they've been a Christian for more than a couple of days. Somebody say, show up. We need to band together, right? And just believe God to do wonderful things. It means words like an effort. Somebody say, this thing takes effort. Whatever it does, when you're doing something for God, it's going to require some effort.
But I thought Jesus already did all the effort.
He did his part, which was, I believe we could all agree, the heavy lifting. Nobody had to nail me to a cross. But Jesus, somebody say, but Jesus. He did it all for us, didn't he? So we just simply keep showing up, having faith, studying his word, obeying his commands, and look, somebody say, look out, devil. The church is coming through. Amen? It means words like contention, race, a struggle, agony, right? I mean, we don't want to believe for that part of the gospel, do we, right? But sometimes there's some things that might be a little bit uncomfortable. And I don't know about you, but the devil is not my greatest opponent in life. You, the government, not my greatest opponent in life. My greatest adversary in my own life tends to be me. Right? So it's oftentimes this pushing and struggling against what I would rather do. And yet putting God first. Somebody say, just put God first. Just love Jesus more than you love you. The Holy Ghost wasn't sent to help me with you. So I see a lot of believers get this backwards, right? The Holy Ghost was sent to help me with Shelley. Oh, no. The Holy Ghost was sent to help Steve with Steve. Amen? And I've heard Rick Renner say this in a beautiful article that he wrote. And he said almost exactly the same thing that I just said. He said, we have, you know, this worldwide ministry, and their headquarters is in Moscow, Russia, church. Amen? And he said, you know what? My biggest obstacles have not been with Moscow, with the devil. My biggest thing to overcome is me. And he said, God showed me a long time ago, if I can just overcome me, we can change the world, man. Somebody say glory to God. And that's what the Holy Ghost is here to do. So don't get discouraged. My biggest obstacle is don't get too discouraged with me. Don't get down on me. The word faith. This is a big definition for the word faith, I believe, for this year, is as defined in the concordance again, about midway through the sentence there, reliance upon Christ for salvation and constancy in such profession, right, to believe. These are all things that I've emphasized and just jumped off the page at me over the years regarding faith. Amen? But the first part of this really jumped out at me for this year. Somebody say this year. And it is this, conviction of the truthfulness of God. Amen? There's a lot of lies in this world. Amen? And as believers, we have to be able to differentiate between what's lie and what is truth. Right? Well, Christians are supposed to be loving everyone, just embracing everyone. We do. God so loved the world. But he doesn't love the philosophies of the world, right? Jesus allowed them to brutally torture and kill him to save the world. Amen? From sin, from darkness. And so as believers, we come to God and we study his word. We open his Bible and read it. Somebody say, open your Bible and read it and study it. The Holy Ghost helps us. Listen to some anointed preaching. Victory Network is a great place to plug in and get some great anointed preaching and teaching. But study your Bible. Pray. Read your word. Amen? What am I doing? I'm developing a conviction to the truthfulness of God. And my conviction is not so I can condemn you or can point my finger at someone else. We have to lower our expectations when it comes to the world, church.
I can't believe what they are doing.
Oh, well, yeah, that's what the world does. It's more about what is Steve doing, right? Where am I violating the truthfulness of God? And Holy Ghost, help me. Say, Lord, help me. And he does. And here's the thing, church, not in order that I would be saved. Amen? We're not saying these things in order to escape hell. Somebody say, if you're born again, if you gave your life to Jesus, you're born again. From here, it's just about loving God more than me. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, conviction of the truthfulness of God. And that should affect how I vote. Right? That should affect every area of my life. How I talk, how I think, how I act, what I accept, what I reject. Right? All because of God's truth. Amen? And this word profess, when it says confessing the good confession, somebody say, confess the good confession. Right? Now, professed and profession are words that are used for that, but it means to assent, covenant, acknowledge. Confession is made to give thanks and praise. Somebody just say, you know what? I just need to spend more time praising God. Thanking and praising God no matter what. Something happens this morning, we come in and the building is a mess. Thank you, Jesus. You got something planned for today. Hallelujah. Amen. Something goes awry in your life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, not for that thing, but thank you that you're on the throne and you're going to help us through this thing. Thank you, Lord, right? So praising and thanking him is a big part of our profession ongoing. But that word acknowledge we want to look at. And it means to admit to be true or real. This is the dictionary definition of the word acknowledge. To recognize or to perceive as existing or true the existence, truth, or fact of. And I like these four statements here from the dictionary. Acknowledge means, what are we doing? We're acknowledging God's word as the truth, right? And that means to show or express recognition or realization. Amen? To recognize the authority, validity, or claims of. See, a lot of Christians out there believe God's word is true. They just don't believe it applies to 2021, okay? They think the rainbow is one thing when it really should remind them of the mercy of God saying he would never flood the planet again and wipe the humanity off the earth again. It doesn't mean he embraces the philosophies of the gender blender. No, that's not what this is about. The rainbow should remind me to repent. Rainbow should remind me to repent because there's a way out and his name is Jesus. Not just go further into sin because it doesn't matter. God is this great God of love. God is whoever you want him or her to be. Do whatever feels good. I love how the media is so fickle, you know? They'll just promote all this crazy stuff, and then one guy does something really sinful, and they jump on him. It's like, what happened to the rainbow? That's what he felt like doing. Yeah, but it hurt all these people. Yeah, well, what you're doing is hurting people too. You know, it just doesn't make any sense at all. Right? Now, yes, all these things are obviously wrong, but what are we about? We're about learning and studying and approving what is right and living accordingly. Amen. What is a family? According to the Bible, a family is a mom and a dad and kids. Hear me out, church. Not a white mom and a white dad and white kids. It could be an Asian mom and an African dad or Hispanic dad. You know what I'm saying? This is not about race. Male and female. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. I love all these some of these romance, family romance movies. And they make sure that the romance is between two people of the same color. And that the other folks that are getting, they are also of the same race. Come on. Now, when you get into gender, though, like Bishop Butler spent some time on Black Lives Matter, and he's African-American talking to his church that is primarily African-American, and he's like, church, listen, I believe Black Lives do matter, but let me just read to you a couple paragraphs off Black Lives Matter's website, and there's all these things in there about gender equality. He's like, church, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but they're using gender perversion, really, to compare themselves and use the legitimate issues African Americans have faced for generations to get themselves lifted up. Amen? But where do you find truth like this? You study God's word. You study God's word. Amen? You find his truth, and we live God's truth. Amen? What is that? That's called fighting the fight, the good fight of faith. Amen? So, to recognize the authority, somebody say, God's word has authority today. God's word is the authority today. Even if people high up in government would say, no. The Bible has nothing to do. I heard a congressperson recently say, paraphrasing again, what's the Bible got to do with our meeting? Oh, mercy. But see, those kind of folks have been voted in, we think. Right? And so what do? We pray and we teach Christians to be Christians. Amen. Somebody say, be one. Glory to God. And where do we find out what a follower of Jesus is? Somebody say, in the Word. We look into the Word like a mirror, and we see what the Word says, and we do what the Word says. Glory to God. It means to show or express appreciation or gratitude for. So there's ways to come at even our leaders in a term of honor and respect to the office. But I want to look today in the next few minutes that we have together on some challengers, some of faith's would-be challengers in this fight of faith. And specifically today, I want to look at the would-be challenger of sickness. Somebody say, by his stripes, I was healed. Amen? And a lot of Christians will say, well, yeah, I know when I get to heaven, I'll be healed. When we get to heaven, we're not going to need healing anymore. We're not going to need a bank account. We're not going to need jobs, so to speak, in the way we've had. You know what I'm saying? On a Sabbath day, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. I've had people tell me before, I don't go to church because Jesus didn't go to church. He was out in the hills and in the country and on the rivers. It says right here, look, synagogue, that's church. It says, as was his custom in some area. Somebody say, Jesus was in church. Teaching in church, right? On a Sabbath day, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues.
Yeah, but Pastor Steve, I like to go fishing on the Sabbath day. I fellowship with God in the wilderness.
Well, praise the Lord, but grow up and get in with the group. You can fish on Saturday. Amen? You can take a vacation now, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But as a rule, be one. Be in church. Any smart lion knows, look for the one that's by themselves. But if you're together, they're going to get stomped if they come into the flock, right? So part of fighting the fight of faith is be in church. By the way, just give yourself a pat on the back. Say, way to go. You're in church. Amen. And a woman was there who had been crippled. Now listen to this. By a spirit. Can you imagine this? They're having synagogue. And this woman has been coming to synagogue for 18 years. Jesus happened to be at that one that day, and he saw her. Jesus will not tolerate sickness. He's not talking about the woman. He's talking about what's harassing the woman. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward. And he says in front of everybody, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. She straightened up and praised God. Hallelujah. She knew she was free. I've had people tell me before, yeah, but Pastor Steve, if I get healed, I'll lose my government assistance. What? Somebody say, shake that off. Shake that off. Shake that off. And guess what? He's still doing it. Where it's taught, where it's preached, where it's received. I've heard ministers say before, God doesn't heal anymore. It's up to God whether he heals or not. God may decide for you, go ahead and die. Somebody say, it's not God's choice. Can I just say it this way? I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to go there. It's not God's choice, right? He chose to heal me. It's my part to get in the Word, to get in some preaching that doesn't preach against it, and receive that in my life. And then if I receive it in my life, I can lay hands on others and believe God to touch and heal them too, right? Somebody say, turn it loose. And I've heard Brother Copeland and others call this faith fundamentals, the fundamentals of faith. To receive anything from God in this concise portion of Scripture, you'll pick it up on how to receive anything from God, right? And it says, Mark 5, 25 to 29, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Now see, we're talking about long continuing things, but somebody say, Jesus conquered it all. No matter what, if it's a cold or a cancer, he conquered it all. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, right? I had my current doctor tell me recently, great guy too. A lot of knowledge. Praise God for doctors. I go to the doctor when I need to. I get physicals. But I'm believing to be off of prescription drugs. I'm not looking for another drug. I'm not like Huey Lewis. I want a new drug. One with no side effects. Don't exist. No. And I'm talking to him, and he's like, well, you know, Steve, just because you're 50, that's why you're going to need this all your life, pretty much is what he was saying. All your life you're going to need this. Just get used to it. You're not getting off of it. But God has shown me some things about my health that I'm believing him for. I need to trim off some stuff so that I can live long and live strong. I learned some good stuff from him, but there's other things that I know because of this that I do not have to receive. Now, did I go home and stop taking my pills? No. But guess what? I was on 3. Now I'm on 2. You've got to rejoice for every victory. Glory to God. Amen. Here's this woman who had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. Okay? Praise God for doctors, but don't forget who the great physician is. Somebody say, that be Jesus. Right? Does anybody know of anybody who died too soon, in your opinion? Right? Yeah. Yes. Now, if they're born again, most of us, I would say, most folks we know are probably born again folks. They are in heaven. They are walking the streets of gold. They're visiting with Moses. They're in their mansion. They're not sad, so we ought not be sorrowful either. Amen? But don't let that affect what happens to you. Don't you ever catch yourself saying, well, so-and-so loved God and they died at 37, so I probably will too. So-and-so loved God and they died at 69, I probably will too. Somebody say, no, no. What do you believe God for? Don't let anybody, whether they're in the grave or out of the grave, talk you out of it. Here's something I just need to say. If you love someone that's in the grave right now, you don't owe them anything. You can hear them. You haven't been to my grave in weeks. That's the devil. Somebody say, Lord Jesus, give grandma a hug. Tell her I love her. Tell grandpa, cousin, whatever. Somebody say, I just got set free right there. Yeah. Amen. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Now, here's a big thing, church. She did not quit. She did not quit, right? Here's the fundamentals of faith. When she heard about Jesus, somebody say, when she heard about Jesus, she came. Now, you got to understand, back in those days, if you had a health issue and you went out into public, they could just kill you right there. She just came. She knew, you know what? I got nothing to lose. She heard about Jesus. She heard the word, and she came to him. And she had to press through people and crowds and dust in the air and her body pain. But she came. Somebody say she came. She heard the word. She heard about Jesus, number one. Number two, she acted on the word. She came. She moved on it, right? When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Somebody say glory to God. And verse 28 in the Amplified Classic says it this way, "For she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health." So she heard, she acted, and she confessed. She received it. Whatever we're believing God for, church, if we just practice those things, somebody say, "I'm good." But see, a lot of people quit because they said it once, they showed up for church once, right? But not her. She kept saying and kept saying and kept saying and kept saying, kept showing up, kept coming, kept pressing, and she got it. Somebody say, "She got it." She got it. And that's why she's in the book. Glory to God forevermore. Well, I want us to flip your page over. We're going to make some faith confessions right now, church. This week, I invented something, and I'm calling it a healing hot sheet. Right? Any good quarterback in the NFL, they've got a wristband, and it's like hot routes. If they see a certain defense, okay, guys, we're going to do this play right here, and he'll call an audible. Well, here's a good audible list. This certainly isn't all the scriptures, but we're going to confess these right now, and we're going to receive healing. We're going to receive an anointing for healing. Psalm 91:10 says this. Say this out loud. "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." So you can get up and just pull out your hot sheet and say, "Guess what, devil? It says right here, Psalm 91, no evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague," that would include COVID or disasters, whatever, "come near my dwelling." Glory to God. Isaiah 53:5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed." Somebody say, "By his stripes I am healed." So see, these are words we should rather say than, "Boy, I feel terrible today. I just feel like I could die today. Boy, this pain is killing me. You know, grandpa died of this, grandma died of this, I'll probably die of this." Somebody say, "Shut yourself up." And say this, "Jesus is a really good attorney. If we'll let him do our talking for us and put his words in my mouth, I'll see good results, desired results." Amen? Matthew 9:29 says this, "Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you." Not everybody came to him in faith for healing. Some people came to see the show. Some people came to see the carpenter's kid. Right? Some people came to accuse him. But anyone who came to Jesus in faith received whatever they came to him to receive. Amen? Glory to God. So that applies to me today. Let it be according to my faith. Somebody say this. According to my faith, let it be unto me. So somebody say, keep your faith in Jesus. Amen. Believe him for what you want. But we got to hurry up here. Acts 3:16 says this. "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness." Somebody say, perfect soundness. "In the presence of you all." Somebody say, he still does it today. So I say, "Lord, I just receive my perfect soundness." Romans 8:11. "But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead," the Holy Ghost has raised more than one person from the dead. This is definitely the biggest thing. "Who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies." How? "Through his spirit who dwells in you." A lot of folks are grasping up here to find their healing when the healing is already here. If his spirit is on the inside of you, your healing is closer than your nose. Just receive it. Somebody say, just receive it. Glory to God. 1 Peter 2:24, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Somebody say, "I'm healed today." Isaiah 10:27, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder." Sickness is a burden, church. It's not a blessing, right? that this burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Glory to God. Anoint yourself with oil. Bible says go to the elders of the church, get anointed with oil and pray it over. You can anoint yourself with oil. You can anoint your house. Sometimes I'll walk around and anoint doors and just say cars, the corners of my property, and say, devil, guess what? This does not belong to you. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody say the anointing works. The anointing of God, the Holy Ghost, the power of God. Psalm 70:16 says this, I will go in the strength of the Lord. That's a great confession to make every day. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Somebody say Jesus only. It's not about how good I've been. It's about how good he is. Amen. Jeremiah 33:6 is, behold, I will bring it, health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. Glory to God forevermore. Somebody say, bring it, Jesus. Amen. Mark 5:34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Jesus said this, church. He didn't say, hey, I've made you well. He said, your faith has made you well. And your faith, of course, is in him. But that's the connector, you see. If I unplug, you know, the sound system from the wall, you won't hear me anymore. But if somebody say, if I plug into Jesus, it's mine. And then finally, Genesis 6:3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be. Now listen to this. Somebody say, this is in the Bible. In Genesis, way back in the beginning, his days shall be 120 years. Know anyone that's made that lately? Now, back in those days, that was bad news because they were living hundreds. Somebody say hundreds of years. So we can believe God. We can believe God for 120 years if you want it. How about this? Just live until you're satisfied. Amen. So don't be thinking, well, I'm at that age, man. About time to start thinking about, this could be it. This could be my year to go on to glory. Are you finished with your race? Somebody say glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet and just lift your hands and thank the Lord for his word today. And I want you to just say, I receive in the name of Jesus, based on the words that we've spoken today, the word that I've heard today. And I've acted on, and I speak. Therefore, I receive perfect soundness in my body. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke sickness and disease off of you. I rebuke infirmities. I rebuke injuries. I rebuke bone injuries and joint injuries and asthmas and cancers. In the name of Jesus and in the spirit of infirmity, you are broken in the name and by the blood of Jesus. Breathing disorders, colds and flus, in the name of Jesus. Backs and necks and joints and feet and ankles, be strong in the name of Jesus. I bind headaches. In the name of Jesus, I bind the effects of injuries from years ago. In the name of Jesus, Satan, your power is broken and we are healed in the name of Jesus. Somebody just say, thank you, Lord, for healing my body. I receive it in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.